Recently, we have a friend who was in a relationship for 3 years, something like that, 3 or 4 years, and they just got dumped because by nothing else other than that they weren't the same religion.
Yeah.
And it was really important to her family that he be that religion. And so even though she still technically loved him and cared for him, she broke up with him because of that. And he could have, you know, saved all of that time by just having that discussion in the beginning and, you know, making a commitment in the beginning over whether or not that's...
He should have been a friggin' Lutheran. It ain't hard. Last week, we started taking questions from all of you via phone. And it was
which
very
never been done before.
We did live.
Never in the world has that ever been done
before. That doesn't happen.
We did it.
We're the first podcast in the world who did that.
Yes.
Okay. So now we're going to be taking your questions further.
Well, we already filmed it.
True.
We're just gonna continue the video that we filmed.
It just opened so cool.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about world firsts and records and stuff.
That's true.
Yeah. That's fine. Here's the episode.
This is live right now. It's happening right now.
We're wearing different clothes.
Yeah. We're going to change right now.
Yeah, we're going to change. Let's change real quick.
All right. Next caller. Hello, the Iron Chef. Well, that's your Instagram handle. I'm guessing that's not your birth name.
I'm not going to lie. I was just thinking about this right now. I'm like, they're probably not going to call. It's all right.
Aw.
Well, you are dead wrong, sir, and you will never doubt us again.
You thought we ghosted you?
I'm kind of used to that in my life at this point.
Oh, my gosh. That is very fitting to your question about depression. We'll get to that in a second, but first, would you like to compliment us?
Yes. Oh, my God. When I saw that you actually liked my thing yesterday, I looked at my little sister. I'm like, oh, my God. She's like, what? Nikki just answered the thing. She's like, what? I'm like, I'm gonna have a heart attack.
Aww.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
It really had nothing to do with me, but that's fine.
Thank you so much for that awesome compliment that was like to both of us. It's right.
Yeah,
I love you guys so much. Oh my God.
Oh, we
you
love
don't,
you, bro.
You don't have to compliment Steve.
No, thank you. I needed it. Thank you.
No, please don't.
But that's why they call him Iceman.
That's what's up,
exactly.
Son.
See, he's too cool for compliments.
He knows.
So you had a question about depression. Would you like to ask that question?
Yeah, so 2019 for me was a very rough time because I had like a lot of things happen all at once. I kind of had the opportunity to start my own business and with a friend that I met in culinary school to start up pretty much to help them build a business and from the ground up, and that involved physical labor, and it involved kitchen layouts, and it involved menus. And so what happened was it didn't fall through, and I relocated from Oregon to Washington and slowly started to run out of the money that I saved and ended up having to pick up 2 jobs and working 80-hour weeks to keep up with everything. And in the end, she kind of said, well, you know, it's not going to work out. It's okay. And I said, what? Like, I relocated and did all this stuff to try to make a business. And it was my fault for relying on someone to do that. And it caused me a lot in the sense of, like, like I work as a chef. And, I didn't get to take care of my body like I used to. So what happened was I overworked like crazy, and it cost me to get carpal tunnel surgery on both hands.
Oh, geez.
And nerve readjustment in my left elbow, because at one point I was working 16-hour days and I couldn't grab my saute pan. I couldn't cut anything anymore, and I had to kind of make the choice to quit, move back to Nevada with my parents and see if they can help me. And I ended up having to get surgery on 4 surgeries because they did my hands. And then when they did a nerve readjustment, I'm the 3rd person out of like 500 patients that the nerve just snapped and I had to go to the ER. So that was another surgery. So
Jesus.
I put in so much work to try to do something. And I'm a first generation. So my parents came here when they were 17. And so for me, because they did so much for me, I just want to do and kind of pay them back for everything they did for me. And I thought that was my year.
Yeah.
And so what ended up happening was it cost me a lot and it hurt. And right now I'm in a point where I'm afraid to do anything because what it kind of cost me. And I'm 26, so I'm like trying not to freak out and say, I need to do more or I need to figure something out because I can't just stay stagnant. But my hands don't work as good, and it's kind of taking me some time to get used to using them again. And I got to a point where I'm like doubting myself and having these second thoughts where I normally can just get up and move. And I come from a really small town, so I don't have that same mentality of let me just go and get after it. Now I'm just like very skittish and afraid, and I don't know how to kind of get past that hump.
Yeah, because you went out of your comfort zone and you went out on a limb, and then you had kind of this domino effect of insane things that happened to you.
You feel like you got punished for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now if you try again, you're scared. You kind of have a little PTSD if like something like that happens again.
First of all, dude, you're a complete fucking badass to get through all that shit.
Yeah.
Like that is tough stuff, man.
That is so much.
That's not easy stuff at all for anybody. And the fact that you're even here talking to us and going like, I want to get back on the horse. I want to do better is huge, especially for somebody your age. You have no idea how mature you are.
Oh, that makes me so, oh my God.
It's
thank
true.
You. Like that's, I don't expect to get caught like that, but I'm like, oh, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that.
It's true, brother. That's what's going on, man. Like you're a tough son of a bitch over there. You got all kinds of reasons why you can't do something, but here you are saying like, I want to do stuff. That's, you have no idea how ahead of other people you are.
Yeah, you have the determination of people that win and succeed. So
you got the heart of a lion, my friend.
You're an iron ass chef.
You're a lion heart.
I know you feel like your skills aren't up to par anymore because of your physical condition, your hands and stuff. And I'm not sure how bad it is because you said you're not as fast, right?
When I pick things up, like, since I'm home, I cook for my family, and when I went to grab a handle, my mom noticed I can't hold a pot, an empty pot, because then my left hand starts to shake.
Mm.
So, like, there's, like, the muscles are gone, and I lift weights, so I couldn't do that for 2 months, and that really hurt me, because with lifting, it is a very good stress reliever, and it helps you kind of dilate a lot of things, and I couldn't do that for 3 months because of this. And then going back and not being able to do as much as I could, like, it's the amount is, at least it's really like kind of fucks with my head, because I also worked really hard for that, because I have a pacemaker, so I had surgery in 2017 and that took me back, so I was able to kind of come back from my surgery and then be strong, and then for out of nowhere, just have 2019 pop out of nowhere and kick me in the balls. It just crippled me, and I'm like,
yeah,
shit.
Wow, dude. It seems like you like your determination is everything. You have like perseverance,
and that's why you're so ahead of so many other people, man. Is because you're already back. I mean, there are people out there who are like, I got to get back to the gym. You're like, I'm back in the gym. I'm just not lifting as much as
I
could.
Yeah, you're the type of person that I feel like you would invent a new way to hold pots because, like, you'd like end up innovating something because you're so like,
determined.
Yeah,
man. You got to see what's going for you right now. You have a lot going for you. Instead of, I know 2019 was shit, but thank God 2019's over. Like, you got 2020 now to make yourself better, and you're already doing it.
And I feel like you're the type of person that you're since you are searching, you will find a way, whether it's like whether it's you using more creativity, like finding a way to hold a pot, or, you know, in the meantime, while you're going to physical therapy and getting that strength back, maybe you write a cookbook or an ebook, or maybe you make videos on how to cook online. And that's not something that you need a lot of speed for, because you already have the knowledge and the skill for. So you're just kind of sharing that knowledge, and that in itself is very valuable. You know, I just doing Tasty Tuesday videos, I don't even know how to cook, and you know, people
watch, don't care.
That. They don't care. They just want to know what meal to make, how to make it. Does it taste good? And you're a chef. Like you definitely have a lot to share with the world. And
you're a chef who can't hold pots. There's irony already. I already want to watch that.
Irony.
I hate it. Yeah. So, but listen, brother. I mean, that's all I'm saying is, I mean, like, you could look back on 2019. It sucked. It did. But what did you learn? I mean, it sounds like you learned a fuck ton.
That you're strong as fuck.
Yeah. And that's what happened there, right? It was a lesson. You tried something and you failed at it, and you're back on the horse already. Like, I think you're so far ahead of where you even think you are. You have no idea.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when I was acting and I was going to auditions and stuff, and I was like, you know, really trying to fucking make it in that arena. And then I got sued. And then while I was getting sued, my boyfriend broke up with me. And then while that happened, I got in a car crash. And I was just like, well, I'm not meant to do this. Then I'm not meant to do it. But then I felt like bouncing back from that made me stronger.
You pushed through.
Yeah. And when you realize that you can push through and you get to the other side, you feel like you can do anything. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you're just in that process right there.
You're pushing.
Yeah. And right now it may seem like the fucking whole world's against you, but you're strong, dude. And I feel like this is just building character and adding to your story. And when you get there, it's going to be so much more fun to tell.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. And I remember hearing you talk, Nikki, you talking about how you went through all that. And to me, when I hear that, I'm like, I'm such a fucking bitch. Like,
oh my God, what? Did it. I think she's such a fucking bitch.
I know, the same. I'm like, oh, I'm such a wimp for complaining about that. You
what
went to surgeries?
Yeah,
and
come on, dude, you got nerve.
Oh my goodness.
You got all kind of nerve shit and stuff. That's hard shit. Yeah. I fell asleep on my hand one time, so I can kind of relate. Because I fell asleep on my hand one time and I couldn't use my hand for like 4 months.
This is the second story of you falling asleep on something and not being able to use it.
True.
In this True. Episode alone. He fell asleep on his neck funny. And couldn't use it either.
Well, I could yeah. use it, but I couldn't fuck. So yeah. It was,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So what's horrible. The point?
Horrible.
It's similar. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's like when I had the surgery, they do this thing called a nerve block. And when I got out of surgery, my arm was just dead weight and I couldn't feel it. And it took about 4 days for me to even move my finger, just one finger.
Oh, man.
And if I went forward, it was like a, I can't think of what it's called. Anyways, it's just dead weight. So it's like running into shit and I would always hit my chair.
I was limp.
Like, yeah, just dead. Like, wow. I can't move it. And I was like, oh my God, I can't feel anything. And if I did, this would hurt really bad.
Dang.
Damn, son.
I hate that. I hate that for you. I'm glad that you got through it, though, because like, it sounds like you have your movement back in that hand.
Yeah, just slowly but just surely. Slowly. But yeah.
That's progress, though. That's what progress is. And I'm proud of you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're not as alone as maybe you feel sometimes. Like, you, trust me. Like.
And you're 26. You're super young. I feel like that's like the perfect age to start over again. It's like you learned a bunch of life lessons to through 25, and I always say 25 is the worst year for everybody. And then 26 is like you're starting over again, like you, and that's who you're gonna be for your adult life. But you've learned a lot of lessons, and I feel like that's in the long run, it's better than people that haven't done that yet.
Absolutely. You listen, that's what failure is, right? It's a chance to learn from what happened and not make that mistake again. And I think you got that.
Well, not even like not making it again, because like you couldn't really prevent that from happening.
Well, no, but I'm talking about like jumping into a business partnership with somebody.
Oh, right.
And
being more savvy, like you'll know, like, oh, let's put this in writing first.
Exactly.
Or like contracts like that.
So
that you don't get screwed over again.
Yeah, 2019, just write it off, bro.
Yeah,
write it off.
Yeah, just write it off as the School of Hard Knocks.
Yep.
For real. Yeah, that's trying to think and be on a positive note, but there's just like those days where it's like, I feel like I see it as I failed and I let my family down, and that weight for me just sits there. And every time I tell my parents, like, I fucked up, I failed you guys, and I'm really sorry. And then they tell me, no, you're okay. You don't got to worry about it. But for me, I just feel very, because I'm the first one out of my whole family to go to college. And so for me, I think with that opportunity, I have no excuse to not be able to do better than my parents. And I always tell them, I won't do better than you guys, but in a respectful way. Like, this age, I want to be able to hold my own.
And you'll get there, man. You're not there right out of the gate, but you'll get there.
You have the right attitude. You'll definitely get there for sure.
It ain't over till the fat lady sings, man, and it's far from over.
Yeah, at 26, I was in so much debt, and I was like, I had 89 cents in my account. I was single. Like, I was gonna get kicked out of my apartment, and then, you know, just a year later, things were awesome.
And
you know?
I would say the same thing if you were 46, man. It ain't over till it's over. You're not done until it's done.
Right, right. I think the mistake we make is because you know that you can do better, you set, you know, high standards and you set timelines for yourself that, like, if you fail to complete by that timeline, it must mean that you, you know, completely failed. But those are just made up limitations in our heads. And it comes from wanting to do well, but sometimes they can sabotage our best efforts.
I thought by now in life I'd have a huge budget movie out with like fucking Dwayne the Rock Johnson or some shit.
Yeah,
I'm not there yet.
Same.
But I'm not. But it ain't over yet.
Yeah,
I'm still working on this shit. So, and so are you. And you're gonna do it, man. You're more determined than anybody.
Wow, thank you. I really, really appreciate it, especially coming from you guys, because I know I've been watching you guys since like 2014, because.
Oh, thanks,
Nikki,
man.
When you were on Ass of Feels, then you would talk about Steve.
Oh,
and then we got to put a face on Steve. I'm like, that's Steve.
Yeah.
Because I used to see your pranks too, but I didn't make the connection because you never said his name.
True. I gotcha.
I don't think I paid attention enough to catch that.
I gotcha.
That's right. Yeah, like one episode, because I always said he was a YouTuber. I'm always like, my boyfriend, he's a YouTuber, but right. I never really... like said your channel.
Wow, thanks for not plugging me even then.
And then they finally asked in what episode, like they're like, what channel is it?
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, you weren't making pranks, like you weren't actively like posting back then.
No.
But yeah. But yeah, well, thank you so much for supporting and watching, and thanks for the love.
Yeah, brother, you're the man.
You're
Keep your
awesome.
Head up out there. You're
you
awesome.
You have such a good attitude, and I know that you're going to do much greater things. This wasn't it.
No, man, I really appreciate that from the both of you. I really do, because I listen to your guys' podcast and been watching for a minute, and I try to learn and take as much as I can, like positive, whether it's relationships or like mental health or whatever's going on. And listening to you guys, I share it with a lot of my friends. Like, listen to this, you gotta listen to this, because they're kind of the same route as I am, and I always tell them, like, you got to listen to this podcast, whether it's Big Mood Girl, the Big Mood, or whether it's Theater Don't Tell You, like, everybody, because you guys put out really good advice and information that is very honest, and it is very much so, like, it changes your perspective on everything that it kind of talks about.
Well, thanks, brother.
Man,
I would love
awesome.
To clown on you and talk shit on you, because you know that's how I am. But I genuinely can't find a hole in your story to poke through, so I'm pretty pissed about it. So I'm going to let you go now.
Thank you so much. You're awesome.
Thank you,
thanks, brother.
Have a good
peace
day.
Out.
Have a good
going.
Day.
I hate it when I can't make fun of somebody. I'm like, I got no in.
No.
I got no in.
So humble.
Right?
So hardworking.
Nice person.
So determined.
Works hard. Thinks he's a failure. I mean, good Lord.
What a dick. We hate him.
Humble as hell.
He's canceled.
A humble, hard worker.
How can we make his life harder?
Yeah. Cancel him.
All right. Next caller. Hello, Manuel.
Yo.
Hi.
Is it Manuel Manuel or Manuel?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Manuel.
What's up, dude? You're live on Shit They Don't Tell You. We are live.
Yeah, and you have a question that we are going to get to, but first we really need some compliments because it's been a while since we got complimented. So
give us
really
a good one, okay?
Like,
give us
a
good
really
one.
Good compliment.
You guys are the best couple I've ever seen.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
My bad.
Thanks, bro.
I'm like, Steve, your trolls are hilarious.
Oh, thanks,
then brother. It's awesome to see just how Nikki and you, like, your guys' dynamic work together, and it's amazing.
Oh my God, thank you so
wow,
much.
Wow, thank you.
Our
dude.
Dynamic
Appreciate
is
that.
Pretty awesome.
It's dope.
Okay, so Manuel, you had a question about religion in relationships. What is that question?
Okay, so it's coming from a place from a breakup, and kind of in now that I'm trying to, like, not that I'm thinking that, just what I could or like expect in a different relationship. So my last relationship ended because of the other person's religion, and they said that something was going on with them and their religion that they had to focus on it more. So, like, my question would be, like, in searching for a new relationship, like, when should religion be talked about?
I think it depends on the person, because if it's a big part of their life like that, I think right away in the beginning, because recently we have a friend who was in a relationship for 3 years, something like that, 3 or 4 years, and they just got dumped because by nothing else other than that they weren't the same religion.
Yeah.
And it was really important to her family that he be that religion. And so even though she still technically loved him and cared for him, she broke up with him because of that. And he could have, you know, saved all of that time by just having that discussion in the beginning and, you know, making a commitment in the beginning over whether or not that's...
He should have been a friggin' Lutheran. It ain't hard.
So when it comes to that, I think absolutely if it's important to somebody, that should be like one of the first conversations that you have is like, will it be an issue if I'm not the same religion as
and
you?
And sometimes when you first start dating somebody, like, What's the first thing they talk about? Like, what's their major interest? If that's religion, then you better get that out of the way. If you got differing opinions on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because I have other friend couples who are completely separate religions, and they, you
Nobody
know,
cares.
One's Jewish, one's Christian. They both practice, and they're like, they'll do Hanukkah and Christmas, and they don't care.
Yep.
The love is more important than the religious aspect of it.
And I got another friend who does, they do another Christmas Hanukkah one, and then he snubs her Hanukkah, and she goes to his Christmas. So, you know, you just never know.
That's true. Yeah, and it's all about, like, same with politics. I feel like, you know, those things that can get really emotional for people that become people's identities.
Yeah, I feel like, this is my identity, okay? This is part of who I am.
Yeah.
Then you better get that shit out of the way.
Yeah, then I think you really have to be in their bubble in order to make it work. But if it's, like, some people are like, yeah, this is part of who I am, but I care about the love in the relationship more. It's, like, all about what they value.
Oh, I want to hang out with that person so much more.
Yeah. So are you, you're just fearful that the next person that you meet, that they're going to break up with you because of something to do with religion?
Yeah, and just like just wondering like when I should like bring it up.
I think right away.
Like,
well, now you've got me curious. What's your religious affiliation?
Right now I'm not like tied down to a religion, but I'm exploring Christianity.
Okay.
Word.
Yeah.
Would you call yourself not an atheist, the other one?
Agnostic?
Agnostic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't talk to agnostics on this show. Please dump his call, please.
Excuse me.
Dump his call.
I'm offended. As an agnostic, I'm like super offended. No, I think that's really healthy for you to have that open mind and explore different religions.
It's tight.
That's what I did. Like I went and like checked out. I was raised Catholic and then I went to Christianity, like, which is Catholics are Christian, but it's just a way stricter form of Christianity. And then, you know, checked out being Christian for a while. And there was a lot of aspects I really liked about it. And I just took those with me. And there were aspects I didn't like about it. So I was like, well, if I can't like all of it, then I'm not going to claim that I'm that. And then I explored like Buddhism and Hinduism.
How do you explore Buddhism?
Well, like, I just learned about it. Like, okay. I wanted to learn, like, what do they believe in? Why did they believe that? What are the stories that made them believe that? Like, how did this religion get structured? Do they think that you're a bad person if you're not that? Like, are they the type that judge other people for not being that religion? I like exploring the whole history of why people are like that.
I was raised Catholic, but then my neighbors invited me to a Baptist church, and I only went because they had dodgeball, which made it way cooler than Catholicism.
Yeah, Christians are way cooler than Catholics.
Way cooler.
With their youth groups and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but then I used to have to sit through Bible study, and all I wanted to do is play dodgeball, so I was like, I don't think this is going to work out.
Oh, there was a cute guy in my Bible study group, and like it was a youth group, and then you had to do Bible study as a portion of it, and then you play games the rest of the time. And there was like a really cute guy. Yeah, that's how they got me.
Yep.
But then she told me I couldn't listen to Eminem, and then I quit that day. I stopped being Christian.
Is that true?
Yeah. No, they were like, his lyrics are very offensive, and like they put down women, and they, you know, just the whatever. They were dissecting like whatever lyrics they thought, like bitches. If you listen to people that say the word bitch or they cuss or whatever. And so I stopped being part of that youth group that day.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, fuck yourself.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, brother. If your chick likes Eminem, you can dump her pretty quick for the same reason then.
Wow. I'm offended. As a religious Marshall Mathers enthusiast, I'm offended.
As the husband of one, dude, get the fuck out while you can. You will hear nothing else on the radio. You'll hear nothing else on Spotify at home when she's vacuuming. It doesn't matter. You're hearing the whole fucking album.
If you can't accept me and Marshall, then you can't accept me at all.
At my best?
Yeah. If you can't accept me at my Marshall, you can't. You don't get me. Whatever the thing is.
I don't get you at your silence?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, brother. Do you have any other questions or compliments?
I love what you guys are doing. I just recently watched the Smiley, and the opening scene was hilarious.
Oh, right. It's yeah, like, Smiley with Nikki in the beginning.
No, and you. You killed me.
I killed you, yeah. Well, thanks, mean. Brother. You're the man, dude.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad you picked up today.
Have a great day.
All right.
You too.
See you later, you dirty agnostic.
Excuse me.
They're filthy people, those agnostics.
That's true.
Dirty, dirty half heathens.
It's been like 5 days since I washed my hair.
I'm agnostic too.
Are you an Eminem enthusiast?
No.
Oh. You had a quote from him as your wallpaper for a while on your desktop.
I like that quote.
Yeah. So.
I just did that to get laid.
Uh huh. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like thanks for listening to our podcast, and if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us. Like,
listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people
as a friend,
and we just want to say please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate, we're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings, so huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you, God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
All right, next caller. Hello, Ash Habib.
Hello, Ash Habib.
How's your day?
Hello, Nikki and Steve. Congrats on 100 episodes.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Finally, someone says it like they know they're on the 100th episode show.
You are the first.
Did nobody really?
No. Yeah, what a crap operation we got.
We asked them specifically for compliments, too, and they did not even mention that we have reached 100
episodes.
It's like
episodes. It's our birthday, and nobody even said happy birthday the whole time. They just said, like, hey, we love you.
They're just
you're
like,
cool.
Hey, we like your shirt. And we're like, yeah, okay, but
I'm
like,
operating under the theory it's because I'm Canadian.
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
Canadians. They always.
They're so polite.
They're so freaking
so nice.
So.
We try.
You had a question about business and marketing. What is that question?
So, okay, I'll give you a little bit of a backstory. Coming up on 2 years ago, I left my job of 10 years working at a major telecommunications company and got offered a buyout. So looked at my options, took a leap of faith, and went to start my own business helping people buy cars. It's something that I've done throughout my whole life, kind of been obsessed with. It's literally like anything non-work related has always kind of been about cars. And I've helped so many people. Everyone's like, you need to do this for a living. So did that, kind of took the leap of faith, started up a business. And I have a background in marketing, like, physical products. And I'm great with doing that. And as soon as I've moved into essentially developing and trying to market something intangible, and especially trying to build like I built a web presence and social media and stuff like that, it's been really, really difficult to get any traction. And it's like, this is the service, like I can help save people thousands of dollars. And I tried like outright marketing campaigns, I tried print stuff like that. And so I wanted to see if there was something I was missing or advice that maybe you guys could lend, given that you guys have essentially thrived online and had to build, you know, presences for yourself and build businesses and stuff like that, that maybe there's just something I'm completely missing.
Where are you located?
Canada.
So I'm in the middle of Canada. I'm in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And the funny part about this is, like, Winnipeg is known for being a very deal hunter kind of area. It's not Toronto, it's not Vancouver, we're dead center of Canada. So something you'd figure that is generally for most people the second most expensive thing in your life that you buy, to be able to save thousands of dollars potentially on that, you'd figure would be really appealing, especially here.
Have you identified your target?
To try and get attraction.
Wait, what's the business though? What exactly?
He goes with people, helps knock the price down on cars.
The price down on cars.
Yeah, I'm an automotive consultant. So basically, okay, you would hire me to not only advise you on what car to buy, like I would guide you through the whole car buying process, as well as I can go through and do the whole negotiation for you.
Do you know who your target...
People would rather get a root canal than buy a car.
No, totally. Do you know who those people are? Like, have you identified the age range and like who you're looking for exactly? Who would want this business the most?
So I identified kind of two key markets. Is first time or kind of more trepidatious buyers, as well. So for the educational aspects specifically to it, as well as higher end luxury buyers, for somebody who wants someone to kind of take care of all the details for them. And I've tried kind of positioning in two different places to see which hits more. And it's like I'm not even getting anything, which I'm like, should this is just a sign that I should just kind of end it?
So I'm not going to claim to be a marketing expert at all. But I mean, just being someone that like marketing myself is the product. It is very intangible. I would say exposure is everything. Where like I didn't even know that business existed. I didn't even know that was a business that there's a person that can help you negotiate cars. And maybe that's just me, like my own naivete.
No,
but
that's exactly what I'm running into. Is like, you know, if you need to buy a house, oh, okay, I'll search realtors in the area and
yes,
take a look at that. This is not something people know about. So it's like having to start an industry almost.
Yes, exactly. You're starting like a whole industry. And so I think in general, like the more exposure you can give to that industry, like if I knew that there was a person that could save me all that money and that could negotiate a car deal, I think I would probably use them, because I just don't even like the headache of doing that. Like, I don't like having to talk to a dude that's going to like try to hard sell me on shit, and then like I have to go back and forth, and I know at the end of the day what my hard lines are, but like he's going to have to go through his whole dance.
Okay, let me talk to my manager.
Song and dance. Yeah.
I'll come back.
Like, I honestly would just rather cut the shit and have someone else do it, where they know like, okay, here's what the deal is.
That's kind of what CarMax is doing.
For sure.
For some people, but I don't know if they're in Canada. But obviously...
They had a company years ago in here, and it failed in Canada.
Got it.
Didn't IKEA fail in Canada, too?
Failed, yeah.
Some big companies, surprising companies.
Well, let me ask you this, okay, because I'm not from Canada.
Yeah.
In Canada, is car negotiation just a delightful experience?
Yeah, true.
No.
Are these cats, like, super nice about it and shit?
In Canada, we get hosed more than probably any other major market.
So here's what I would
they mark stuff up.
You know what I would do if I was you? I would make a YouTube video about how hard everyone in Canada is getting fucked by buying cars, and I would take them through your process and how you can make it cheaper for people.
Yeah, identify the problem to people, because
yes,
people might not even know that there's that problem.
They don't know they're getting ripped off.
Yeah.
They're just smiling and walking out of a dealership with a new car, which is what people mostly do, right?
Yeah, and I've been doing articles and stuff in print and have been looking to move into doing video. So you guys think that that would be maybe a more approachable or easier to find way for people?
Yeah,
yeah. That's where a lot of people go to learn about something, right? And if you could teach them while marketing your business, I think that's effective.
Not even just YouTube. Like if you make a video, like you can put it on Instagram or Facebook, mm-hmm. and Facebook actually has a way to super target demographic where you can get it to age range and like the city that you're in. Like it really can narrow down to the exact demographic that you're looking for. And I'm sure you know that from marketing like physical products. But the video, I think, should focus more on what the problem is to like kind of inform people. So you kind of have to educate people on what your niche is in the marketplace, and then like you introduce them to the problem and then solve the problem.
Exactly.
So the video kind of has to be the exposure to both of the things, rather than just the solution, like also, you know, telling them why they need it.
Yeah, I just think that's your cheapest, best bet, and it gives you the best shot.
Yeah, and you know, test it out. Try a small marketing, like a small campaign with it, and then see how that goes. And if you get some sales with it or some more business with it, then you know you kind of know you're on the right track. Or if you didn't, you know, see kind of what went wrong, like why didn't it, was it that people weren't clicking on it, or was it that a lot of people saw it and didn't care? You can get a lot of at least data from doing that.
What's your company called, man?
Asher B Automotive Consulting.
Well, there you go. You just got a plug on shit they don't tell you. Asher B.
Yeah.
Water Motors
and what
consulting
automotive,
the perfect
commercial agreed. Right now, if you want
to,
when
you're ready to upgrade your Mini, give me a call.
Yes sir, dude. I am actually fairly within the next 2 years, I would say.
Go to Winnipeg.
I'll be in Winnipeg.
Hey, can you negotiate
send
for people?
I can help you remotely.
Okay, there you go.
Beautiful.
That's
thank
what
you.
I wanted
thank
to know
you, brother.
Can you help people that aren't in Canada? That's
yeah, because I have two core services essentially. The first one is going through the education process and doing everything like that. And then the second one is if you're local or if you're a higher end client that wants to fly me out, then I can also do the negotiation and that process in person as well.
That's really cool.
That's tight.
I mean, honestly, overall, I say don't give up yet. I say try every avenue you can with making this work. And if at the end of the day, it doesn't work, you have all of these resources of knowledge to know what was successful in the campaigns and what like data to apply to the next venture that you have. I don't think this will be your last business.
Yeah, and just remember what you're selling here. You're really selling yourself in a lot of ways. Like, hi, I am someone that you're gonna have to trust to take you through this process, and here's the problem, and I am your solution.
Well, I mean, a lot of what you guys are saying is stuff that I have kind of had in the back of my head. I've been a little bit, I don't know, scared to kind of jump into the YouTube pool. I literally, when I say that, I have like GoPro, I have a camera, bought a mic pack.
Beautiful.
Like, I have all this stuff that I've kind of been building up over the last few months, and I'm like,
you just the anxiety of actually doing
it. That's what my trepidation has been.
Totally. So, I mean, the first step is the hardest, you know? Like, actually doing the video, like, your first video is so hard because you're just like, it's so awkward. You're talking to a camera. You're trying to come off natural, but, like, you're in a room alone or maybe there's one other person in there. It's a very weird situation if you're not used to it.
You already got the camera stuff. This is what the agnostic people call kismet. Have you heard of kismet?
I don't think there's many syllables in kismet.
Well, my people, the agnostic people, we say kismet, and it means just a happy coincidence that, you know, you happen to already have all that stuff, and we happen to give you that advice today, coincidentally, crossing paths, a.k.a. kismet, which is what
a confirmation.
Say. So how cool is that?
Well, I really appreciate it, and, I mean, thank you guys. I listen all the time, and I am here for the vibe.
Hell yeah, brother. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ash Habib, Automotive
Consulting.
Thank you, guys.
Watermotive Consulting.
Thank you, guys.
We love you. Thanks for submitting.
Yeah, we love you. Good luck out there.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Well, thank you all for listening to the 100th episode of The Shit They Don't Tell You.
We hope you got a lot of information out of that and or entertainment. I don't know.
They're here for the vibe.
I don't know. You're here for the vibe. Yeah. I hope you got a lot of vibe from it.
I think I got a lot of vibe.
I did too.
Yeah.
That was like, that was so much different than answering questions off of a paper.
Wasn't it more fun?
It was more fun. It was also like more nerve-wracking because I was like, oh my God, they're right here listening to me. Yeah. Like I can't, if I say the wrong thing, like I can't go back and be like, actually, I changed my mind.
Sure you can. We'll just edit it out.
True.
And we'll dump their call.
I'll pretend that I said that other thing on the phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because again, we are not experts, but by now you probably know that since it is our 100th episode and you've watched 100 episodes, right?
See?
So you already knew that. You already knew we weren't experts.
And maybe for our 200th episode, we can start rehearsing for it now, and then we'll have actors call in, and then we'll give the perfect answers to all their questions.
Oh, and we'll have research assistants that researched them perfectly.
We'll have scientists, too.
Yeah, scientists and doctors. Scientist doctors.
Yeah, that'd be so tight.
Yeah. So get ready for the 200th episode. It's going to be tight.
And we should have the Cardinal of Agnosticism on, too.
What is that? Oh, the card. He just has like a fucking hat on.
Yeah, right?
He's like, fucking, I don't know.
He's got one of those, he's trucker hat that says fuck it.
He has a hat that says, I don't know, IDK.
IDK.
I don't know.
He's like, hey, he's like, yo, I'm going to In-N-Out later.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, I like him too. Whoa.
Oh, we're going to get a call.
We have so many callers. No. So many people calling.
I think we took too many calls.
I think we need to turn the phone lines off and because we got to go.
Hello,
and
you're on Shit Then I'll Tell You Live.
That was some shit that they didn't tell you. Right?
I think so.
That we gotta go.
We definitely have to go.
But we love you and thank you and please rate us and subscribe and all that stuff, all that beautiful stuff. And if you want to check out our Patreon, we do live streams. We're having one this Sunday, but you missed it already because it already happened by the time this episode came out. But maybe you can make the next one.
Yes.
And we'll see you there. We hope to see you there. And
thanks for listening, guys. You guys are seriously the best audience in the world.
You really are.
You have no idea how much we appreciate you guys.
You guys are awesome.
And that you share the show with your friends and stuff. You have no idea what it's done for the show. So thank you.
And maybe one day we'll be thirsty to call you too.
We will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. We will be. Pretty thirsty.
Bye.